Hi there. Welcome to Piece of Work, the podcast. I'm Danielle Tantone. I'm a nurse, author, coach, and survivor. I love inspiring people to live their best life, reach for those big dreams, and find joy even in the pain. As I wrote my memoir over so many years, trying to make sense of a story where I was way too often the bad guy instead of the hero, I came to understand that we are all a piece of work, but we're also a work in progress. And even in our messiness, we are a work of art too, all at the very same time. In fact, we are all beautifully unique pieces of one masterpiece, waves in the same ocean. This podcast will explore the stories and struggles that make us human, the miracles that surround us, and all the ways we work to make sense of it all. Welcome to Piece of Work, the podcast. So today I have with me my friend Ashley Renard, who is a fellow memoirist and among other things. And I'm going to read a little bit about her. She's like I said, an author, and she's created quite a community through her presence on social media. She's built a committed following who tune in daily for her fresh, no-fuss advice on everything from keeping monogamy hot to renegotiating a marriage to getting kids to clean the house, because nothing makes her prouder than child labor. With savvy and plenty of humor, her down-to-earth voice tackles topics that are relatable to anyone struggling with the awkwardness of living in a meat suit at Earth School. She resides in Bucks County, Pennsylvania with her husband, their three children, a cat and a dog. As a child, she thought Pennsylvania the most unfortunately named state, too similar to Transylvania. I loved reading that in your memoir. To her delight, it has ample sunlight and a remarkably low population of vampires. Laugh with her on Instagram at Ashley Renard. So her book is called Swing, and I don't have a copy of it because I listened to the audiobook, but I'll hold up the Audible, which I have in my phone. There you go.
There it is.
Because I was listening to it again on the way here just to refresh some of it to myself. I had listened to it a couple months ago, and it is a great book. Very different from my book, Piece of Work, and yet so similar in some ways, too.
So similar, right? And different. I mean, yes, the process of really examining your relationship with yourself, right?
Yep.
Because that... every other relationship is just a reflection of that.
Absolutely. And at the end, I just listened to the last two chapters completely, and you were talking about symmetry being put it in your words, the way you described it. It was so beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Danielle. Okay. So I am an author, but for a couple decades of my life, I pretended to be a skating coach. And I did it pretty successfully.
You didn't pretend.
I did. But the thing is, the idea was to always be an author. But it's so easy for life. You to go down a different path or just be on different track than what you intended. And you get somewhere and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get this far? But what was the question you just asked me, Danielle? Why did my mind just blank on that?
No, I think that's good. We'll definitely come back to that. We were talking about how we're different and the same, and it reminded me of the way you described symmetry toward the end of your book about two different things that are reflections.
Okay, so my skating organization was called Philadelphia Symmetry, okay? And I picked that name for a reason. And then I really, in my last season of coaching skating, which was 2019, because I retired, because I knew I needed to write this book. And I mean, the first scene of the book, I'm at an invite-only sex party in New York City where I had to send in headshots and a relationship bio for me and my husband to get on the guest list. So I was like, I don't know if I can be like coaching 7-year-olds or even 17-year-olds on a daily basis once this book is out in the world. So I was like, okay, this is my time to exit stage left from skating. And I got to really reflect on those decades I spent on the ice, like 30 years. For 30 years, I was on the ice 6 days a week. It was straight. So it was, a whole lifetime of living life a certain kind of way and really seeing, how that impacted the choices I made in my life. And one of the things I was thinking about was like this word symmetry. And my favorite definition for symmetry is one that's like not as common. Like people think, it's a mirror image or like it's the same up and down as it is side to side. But
my eyes are even.
Right. Or like a butterfly or like, if you like put some paint on a paper and then fold it. But the one that I really love is that the inside and the outside of something are perfectly matched. And that's what I really started to feel as I was winding down that career that had been so much of my life to step forward into this new storytelling part of my life, where instead of telling my stories on the ice, I was going to use my words. And it was terrifying.
It's like authenticity. Danielle. It's like being your true self.
It is. And it's like, okay, what have I learned in these 2 decades of coaching skating and, you know, like decades of that overlapped with that too, of competing? What have I learned about me? And what have I learned about integrity? And what have I learned about the outside? Like the way I am living my life, matching what is on the inside, like who I know I really am, who, absolutely, what I value, what I love. And so that was like my gut check. Like, am I living in integrity? Like, is there symmetry? Is there a match from the inside to the outside?
And I just love that you were able to do that, tie in these deep concepts when, like you said, it starts out with being with your husband in a sex club. And the title of the book is Swing, which implies the swinger lifestyle, which is a little foreign to many of us and probably most of my audience. But
it's so much
more than that. You know, your book is about that, and yet you've tied in these themes, you know, ice skating and monogamy and motherhood and marriage and self-love and spirituality. It's really well written, very, very well written.
Thank you, Danielle. I had one agent tell me that there were about 6 books in this book. And they're like, I want to hear, like I want you to write like a spiritual motherhood book. And I want you to write like a book about overcoming perfectionism and like how as an athlete in an aesthetic sport, you know, you grow up with this like extra layer of perfection like on you. And what can we all learn from this? And I said, I know it seems like a lot of different stories in one book, but like, that's literally how busy of a place my brain is to be.
Oh my gosh.
Like, there are all these things going
this
on.
This is where we're the same. This is where we're the same. I tried to do the same thing. I tried to simplify my story like that. And it didn't work because all the themes tie together and they're related and I'm a whole person and you're a whole person.
And no part of our story is separate from the rest.
No, exactly.
And I think a big part of healing is to understand how all the parts fit together, mm-hmm, and then to figure out what meaning you want to make out of them. And for this reason, I wish everybody had the experience of writing a memoir, because of the focus and the intention it takes to take all of these occurrences in your life and weave them into a story. Now, you know this, Danielle, absolutely, and I know this, but I think a lot of people read a memoir and go, oh, that writer has a good memory. And yeah. I think it was Anne Lamott.
Yeah, you just happened to pull it out of thin air.
Yeah. You have such a good memory. It's like, oh no, I told you a story.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of the parts of it would be explained in a similar way by other people who were there. And then some parts, you know, they were on a different side of the room, or they, absolutely, were right there on the bed with me, but they remember it differently. And that, mm-hmm, was the interesting thing going back with my husband, because he was the only one who read it for months. And
mine
and
too.
Saying like, right? Does this jive?
I would read it out loud to him because he doesn't actually like to read, but.
Oh, I would. That's very generous of you. I would email him chapters at work, and then he knew he within a certain period of time, he should give me
some
sort of
response. He was expected to do his part.
And his love language is acts of service. So he's like, I know that if I read this and then write something back to Ash, that's
she's
way to
gonna
love
feel
her.
Loved. Well, that's pretty awesome that he knows that.
Well,
sounds like he's grown a lot through the course of the time.
He has grown and he continues to grow, and that's, mm-hmm, the thing that I want people to know too. Like,
Before, I don't want to get us off on a tangent too much, but if I don't say it now, I'll forget. I have wondered as I've kind of watched you build this community of couples mostly, and a lot of them led by men, like where Manny fits into this. Does he, I mean, I know you guys have done some work, and by the end of the book, your marriage is really strong. And, but is he involved in this whole thing you've created?
That's such a good question, because my business has always been really separate from my marriage, mm-hmm, right? And I ran my business, like when I was running my skating organization, I ran it as a nonprofit. So the amount of money I brought home. Like I set a salary for myself and then I ran my nonprofit. So like, it really was like, I didn't have my husband over my shoulder with like business decisions. Now it's the same, except we both work from home. Mm-hmm. Right. And I run my business as an S corp. Right. So it's interesting because he's curious sometimes about the financial stuff, but he really doesn't want to be in front of the camera. Like he's not a social media person. He has no social media. Right. So, and I really want to make sure that we're not following the pressure to make this like a couple's account or something, because that's mm-hmm. not what it is. The growth from our marriage usually happens from me getting super, super, super curious or frustrated or stuck on something and go, wait a minute. And I want to just like uproot it and go, let's talk about, let's look at all the parts of this. Let's see. So being in relationship with me, because I have a really analytical mind and I just like to talk things out. I mean, we talk about relationship stuff a lot. Like I'm analyzing our relationship a lot and like trying to see if I'm really living, if I'm really walking the walk, if I'm living in integrity to what I'm saying. He came to our couples retreat that we had in Banff, Alberta at the beginning of December.
If he had, yeah.
Yep. And he was an incredible host. Hmm. Like he actually stepped up like a host, which was so funny because I have traveled for work a lot with my skating teams, like for the first decade that we were married, I was away 5 to 10 days a month for half the year traveling. And with babies and everything, I would take the babies with me for the first year that they were nursing, then mm-hmm. leave them at home with my husband and my mother-in-law. And I preferred that Manny not come to competitions because I didn't know how to like kind of manage him and manage.
Yeah, it's more pressure. It's one more thing to worry about, one more person.
Yeah, so I used to say I like to fly solo. But for the couples retreat, I knew that just wasn't the thing. I was
sort
like,
of
no,
made
this is
sense.
Be
it would be weird if he wasn't
yeah.
there.
Well, yeah, just from the very beginning, I was like, and you'll come too. And he was like, this sounds great. And then when we were there, I was like, oh my God, this feels really cool. He's seeing me in my element and he's stepping in to go, how can I support her? Like he does when we're hosting a party at our house.
Right.
But with this different spin on it, Danielle, because there we are, all these people have been like, following me for a long time, have read Swing, are there because they're like, we love what Ashley does and puts out, but that's not something that he ever gets to see because he's not even on social, Danielle. So mm-hmm. he doesn't even see other people's reactions. So I think it's really interesting because I think that like low key, he sort of doesn't get like the scope of what I'm doing, but he can step up when he needs to in that kind of situation in a really authentic, in a really genuine way. And I check in with him too when I say something on my stories or I share something in a podcast interview that maybe I've never said before. And I want to check in with him like, oh, I just said our relationship was XYZ. Like, would you agree with that? Or would you agree that like, you know, I was pointing out this difference that we have, but I've never actually said it to you. Like, I want him to be in the loop. Mm-hmm. and just say like, does that track for you? And he'd be like, yeah, makes sense, you know. So I like try to keep him up to date on things that I'm talking about, but it really is my exploration into relationships and my digging into other people's stories, because that's what I get so much now, you know. Awesome. Hundreds and hundreds of DMs every week, sometimes hundreds a day from
that sounds
people
like a lot to manage.
It is a lot.
An exciting problem to have, but
it's an incredibly exciting problem to have. And this started like two and a half years ago when I posted my first reel on Instagram, How to Keep Monogamy Hot, Part 1. I didn't even know what Part 2 was going to be, but I just wanted to keep myself on the hook to make a second video.
Now, I've been wanting to ask you, it's been kind of like in the back of my mind, how did you always know which direction you were going to go? You know, when you write a book, like, you want to market it and you want to sell the book,
yeah.
But then
yes.
usually if you want to actually make money from it, especially as a self-published author, you probably need to do something else with it.
And yeah.
Did you always know which direction to go in as far as how, whether you were going to be a life coach or.
So no, I still try to figure out like 3 times a day. I change my mind on what I want to be when I grow up. So Danielle,
better.
I had no fucking clue. I still don't, but I'm very good at doing things scared. And I'm very good at doing things, starting things, even though I don't
before
know
you're ready.
How many steps in I'm going to get before I go,
wait a second.
Right. Like, I don't know if you've ever, actually I have it right here on my desk, so I'm going to show it. I don't know if you've ever read the Clifton Strengths assessment. Yeah. Now discover your strengths. Okay. My number one strength out of all of them is activator. And this is the reason I think one of the reasons people like my advice and one of the reasons that I was a really good coach on the ice. I have enough confidence in people's ability to take action that they feel it and they will take action with my influence that they've never taken before. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, no, she said she thinks I can do that. And she's like, there's no wobble, you know, like there's no wobble.
But it's interesting that that the direction that you ended up going in was toward couples keeping it hot and monogamy and building up couples rather than any number of different directions you could have gone. Did it just happen organically?
That was an accident. Yes, it totally happened organically. And then when I looked back 4 months later, right before my book was coming out, I was like, oh my God, I could not have set my audience up better for this if I planned it. I could not have done this better if I planned it, but it wasn't even planned.
That's so awesome.
Okay. I love giving advice and I assimilate information really, really quickly. And I think this is something that's just innate in my brain, but it was really, really practiced. I mean, I have over 20,000 hours coaching skaters on the ice, groups of skaters, like 12, 20, 60,
where each one
80,
has a different personality 80, and a different,
they all have a different personality, but I'm trying to make them all do the same thing at the same time. Okay. So when I see one skater do something new with a twizzle or a counter, because those are both really hard turns in skating. Mm-hmm. If I see that their weight placement is different or their shoulders or something, I will go pause. And from the time I learn something new to when I know how to teach it, it takes 5 seconds long
That's
enough for me to
awesome.
Pause the music and then turn to all of these eager little faces and go, now skaters, something we need to remember about twizzle is this. And I just learned this myself 5 seconds ago, but I can explain it in a way that sounds like confident and is clear enough that people are understanding the instructions. So when I say, you understand, go try it. The majority of the athletes and the majority of the people who see my Keeping It Hot or How to Keep Monogamy Hot videos, they know what action to take when they are done watching that video. It's clear. Oh, I send this to my spouse and I say, hey, you want to, do this fun thing, like plan a date night or whatever. It's like all very easy, easy things to make bids for connection and influence because I worked with teenagers for 2 decades.
Keep it simple.
I know the kind of question you ask to get the greatest possibility of a yes for something that would fit your continuum of preference. Like I know, like I see my husband talk to our 15-year-old and I'm like, oh my God, why did you start with that question? No, no, you just like shut it down before you watch and learn. Hey buddy, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, no, but let me just tell you my whole life story. I was like, see, do you see that?
I need you to
that's
come to my house.
That's how you talk to a teenager. Well, that's the thing. Like I actually
I have
love
girls.
Teenagers. Well, it doesn't matter. That's who I,
although,
that's
yeah,
who
you're
I learned.
Used to girls,
that's I who I learned with. So like, and honestly, gender doesn't matter. It's personality.
That's true.
And when you want to get along with a teenager, you know, and see, I'm kind of going down like this.
You got to go down to their level.
You have to drop your defenses to be on their level. So what I would do automatically is just go, hi, I'm Coach Ashley. I'm here to make you an awesome skater. And I'm pretty sure that you want that. Okay. Right. All right. Let's do. That's what I am here for. You got it. That is my job. I don't get paid for per word that comes out of my mouth. I'm going to tell you as efficiently as possible what you need to do to be a better skater. Okay. And you're going to be a better skater when you step off the ice in 45 minutes. Like that's how much better you are getting better. Like right this moment, like you're better than you just were. And they're like, oh, okay. Got it. All right. All right. All right. Cause it's like,
they believe it. Cause you told them.
Because I told them and I said, and look at you, you look what you're doing. Do you realize how much better you like, do you realize that's a completely different 3 turn than what you were doing 5 minutes ago? Right. Like I love praising people for what they're doing in the direction of growth and change. Right. So I have given advice on everything my whole life because skaters would be like, you know, I have a degree in exercise physiology and I was a competitive skater. So like, you know, they would ask me about nutrition. They would ask me about this. I used to be the assistant strength coach for Team Canada women's volleyball. So like the off ice training, like I didn't even need to hire anybody for most of the things. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, I know that, I know sports management, you know, like these were all things that were in my degree. But what that turned into then was like, oh, what do you, you know, skaters would call or text me if they were having a fight with their parents or this or that, like just advice across the board. So sometime during pandemic, I put a call out on my stories for like advice, like basically like making my stories like a mini advice column. So, and then I would reply with videos.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, people knew that, and my book wasn't out yet. Okay. People knew that I meditated regularly and they were like, how do you start that? And you're like, you just do it and you're never going to be good at it. Like, I'm so horrible at meditation and I've done it for 20 years. Right. Because like, you don't ever really get good. You just keep doing it. And then how to potty train during quarantine, and then how to keep it spicy in the bedroom. And I said, listen, for my advice for that was just have a conversation about what time of day you prefer. Because it seems from my DMs that there are some people, I was like, who would do this? Because this sounds like torture. There are a lot of people, Danielle, who go to bed together every night and are laying there wondering if they're going to get action. And I'm like, I cannot deal with that uncertainty in my life. Like, I would lose my mind. That pressure, like, can I fall
and
asleep?
And that is actually probably the default for most married people, I think.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. But
I think it is, but I just need people to know life does not need to be this stressful.
No, we're not. We don't all have the same rhythms. So.
Right. And so have this conversation about what time of the day you want to have sex. Well, people loved it. But one person really, really loved it. One of my best friends, Katie, she's a psychic, which is super convenient to have friends you love.
Sure, she's helpful.
Oh, yeah. She's so helpful. She's like, Ashley, that changed our marriage. I was like, get out of here. She's like, it did. I can't even tell you how much better our marriage is since we both saw, because they both follow me because we're friends. And they're like, and then we had that conversation and now we're like, oh yeah, yeah. Like it's this time of day or it's like not happening. Right. Like instead of like,
no, if then I then follow the nights, you, I feel like I don't see these. I need to see these things that you're posting and putting in your stories.
Yeah. So this was just one of the first ones a couple of years ago. And she said that changed our marriage. You should make a video of that so I can share it with people. Cause it was so many stories and it expired like back months before. So she kept telling me every time I would see her, you need to put that sex advice on YouTube or something. I was like, oh my God, nobody wants my basic ass sex advice, Katie. Nobody. She's like, well, we needed it. I was like, all right. But I think you're the only ones. Congratulations. Anyway, she kept telling me this. And then Danielle, I got a literary agent really quickly after I started. Within 12 months of starting it, I had two offers from literary agents, which is like pretty fast as far as writing goes. But I did not like the experience of being represented by a literary agent at all, at all, at all.
It's impressive that you were able to secure one. And also I respect and understand that why you didn't like it.
I didn't like it. And I was like, why did I want to do traditional publishing? Well, I wanted it for my ego. I wanted it completely for my ego.
It's just, I'm writing this, you know, book. It feels more legit in the beginning. You think that that's, well, if you're just self-publishing, that's not a real thing.
It did. And I am so grateful that that agent pitched Swing in the way that she did, that she got no bites. I was with her like for a few months. She thought we were going to sell the book within like a week. Mm-hmm. And then in Canada, then we'd have a bidding war. She loved the book so much. Okay. So, and she really gave me confidence in myself. And I signed with her during pandemic. And it
that
was
is
like
amazing
these-
and meaningful. I wished I had somebody in my corner, like somebody, a cheerleader to cheer me on.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't have a cheerleader. I couldn't even get her on the phone after I signed with her.
Because interesting.
Things didn't happen as fast as she thought they would. And I think then she was like, oh shit, like I oversold my connections and what I could do with this. And then she just kept sending it out more and more. And I was like, this, I need to see how you're even pitching this. I don't understand. I need to know what you're even saying this book is about. Mm-hmm. But instead of that, because I could not get in touch with her. I was just like, you know what, let's just wrap this up. Show me who you've submitted it to. And then I had emails prepped for other agents who had been interested when I signed with her, but I couldn't contact anybody for 45 days. Mm-hmm. And I was like, on the eve of my 40th birthday, I broke up with my literary agent. Okay. And we'd only been together for like maybe 4 months, but that was so like when I left skating and I said, I'm going to live a more honest, authentic, untethered life. unencumbered life. Like, I meant it. So the universe has been like dumping opportunities for growth on my lap, like really quickly. It's like I'm molting at the speed of light.
That's so amazing.
And at the same time, Danielle, my whole life, I felt like I'm not going fast enough. So I'm molting at the speed of light and like jamming my foot, looking for the gas pedal at the same time. Like, because that is part of my programming and patterning, right? And it's just a constant undoing, right? So I had 45 days where I was like, oh my God, this is actually such a relief. Like, I can't contact an agent at all because I queried so many agents before I signed with these. Anyway, it was just so much pressure I've been putting on myself to either post the right thing that was going to go viral. So then like literary agents and editors would just be like falling on my feet. Oh yeah. Like just like stalking me, like sending me like elaborate flower arrangements every week. Like, have you decided? You're so brilliant. Right. And at the same time, I was scared that the next thing I was going to post was going to blacklist me forever. Like I was be canceled. Because
and it's a fine line when you're, especially on the subject matter you're talking about in your book.
Well,
you know, it's like,
and the thing, I hadn't really even talked about sex yet, but in those 45 days, I was like, oh my gosh, what if I just posted something like not even caring? What if I just made that stupid sex video that Katie was telling me to do? So I made a video called How to Keep Monogamy Hot Part One. And I was like, I don't think anybody's going to like this, but I love Katie and just whatever.
Gotta try it. What do you have to
try it? And whatever. That would be fun. I've been thinking about how I would do it. I made this funny video, How to Keep Monogamy Hot, Part One. Didn't know what part two was going to be, but wanted to be on a hook to make a second reel. My audience had been growing really slow and steady. I've been trying to get my writing out for about 4 years, and I had 2,000 followers on social media, on Instagram. 2,000. So 500 a year.
Mm-hmm. Not
after
bad.
I posted, it was pretty good. And they were really committed. After I posted that video, my audience grew by 45,000 people. Sorry, 55,000 people in 45 days.
Holy cow. That's amazing.
Instagram, TikTok. I was like,
and do you think it's because of your authenticity, and, or do you think it's because of the fact that it was about sex, or what do you think caused that?
I think it's both. I think it's like, I can talk about sex like I can talk about the weather. Because I have been trained by teenagers to just get to the facts and get to an understanding. Don't sensationalize anything, right? Like that's one of the things that I think people don't understand about teenagers. Just like give it to them straight. Like they think teenagers are so emotional or something. And it's like, they are so tuned in energetically that like, just say what you mean. And they will just respond and just like, you just got to hold some space. They're actually like remarkably simple humans. It's a remarkably simple stage of development. They want independence. So you're there to say, hey, I'm here to make your dreams come true. And your dream come true is like you living on your own and never having to listen to any of us ever again. And that's my job, is to get you out the door. You know what I mean? But to like, there doesn't need to be a struggle. So I think I am good at talking to people in a way that makes them feel like, oh.
You'd like take off, they take down their guard. They're like,
I'm disarming. Yeah. Exactly. And working with teenagers is sort of like trial by fire, stand-up comedy. You know immediately if what you're
if
saying you're, is landing.
If the audience is liking it or not.
They're facing.
If it's a bomb or...
Every time I would say something, then I would like scan the 16 faces and get a read, right? Like quick, right? Like, are they understanding? Is this landing? Because I would just be faces, faces, faces. Even now on Zoom, if I'm doing a workshop, I watch a gallery view. I need to see people's eyes to know if what I'm saying makes sense to them, right? If it's landing, if they're following. Mm-hmm. Because we need people to follow if at the end of the 30-second instruction that I'm giving, I'm going to say, okay, go ahead, throw each other in the air, blah, blah, blah. And they all have blades on their feet and it's ice.
Yeah, like, that's a little dangerous.
Like I need to know that they understood my instruction. Right. So in the videos, I think I'm disarming. I think the fact that a few of my first videos talked about oral sex in this really just funny way. I was talking about tracking my cycle with the moon, and I have this moon calendar that's actually behind that door there in my office. And I was saying one of the ways that we stay not pregnant is during the times of ovulation, we don't have intercourse. We do other things. And I was saying, so sort of like during this period, it's sort of like Taco Tuesday, like he has taco and I have burrito. You know what I'm saying? I think people lost their minds because I admitted, hey, oral sex. Yeah. Thumbs up. Like the fact that it kind of blows my mind, but having all of these conversations now via DM, that's the thing that men want more than anything, is to perform oral sex on their wife more than they do. Okay. They want their wife to receive. They want to give pleasure to their wife. They want, but a lot of times in the bedroom, women are like, yeah, let's just get it over with quickly. Like, you want it? Yes, we can do it. But like, quick, can we get this quick? And they're like, that's not, but instead of them saying, hey, I really am feeling the need to know that you're satisfied. Like, I need to have times in my week where I am certain that my wife is satisfied because I see that she's busy. I see that she's like a little stressed. I see that, you know, she's doing things for the kids and herself and her business, but I want to know, am I satisfying her? Am I?
That's interesting. I wonder how many times as women, we don't give that to our husband. We don't give them that feeling of having given us pleasure or satisfaction.
They're not asking the right questions.
No.
And so many times, kind of close off to it. Yeah. So many times men want reassurance, like reassurance that their partner loves them and that they are a good husband to them, or they want closeness, or they want physical comfort, or. But for a lot of men, the only thing they feel safe asking for in their relationship, like feeling manly, is sex, which is so, it's like a 7-year-old going, ice cream. And you're like, okay, I have banana split and I have this and blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you want? They're like, ice cream. And it's like, yeah, okay, we have like a whole bunch of different kinds of ice cream. Like, what would you like? Like, what is it that you're craving?
They don't even know. Yeah.
They just know they want to feel better. And they don't, a lot of men don't have a lot of great friend relationships so they can really talk. They don't have maybe coaches or like kind of spiritual or like self-help mentors that who they follow on social media or whose books they read. Right. So they're like, I think sex makes me feel better. So then they're sort of like, you know, pulling at their, like, you know, their partner's like, sure. Like, hey, honey. Whereas if they were actually doing their work and like living their life and really moving ahead with their career, like, they would probably be so sexy that like, I would be pulling on his shirt, like, hey, honey, got time for me. Right. Totally. But it's like, we're just working on these like different paradigms. I think a lot of married couples are working on different paradigms. So then our requests are not coming through because we hear each other's requests as like trivial things to be focused on when clearly there's all this other stuff that's like taking priority in my mind right now.
And yeah, like, I can't possibly think about sex when I have all this other thing,
right?
More important.
But
thing.
What if your partner was saying to you, babe, I want you to go and spend 3 hours this afternoon meditating, doing a sound bath in the bathroom, doing a facial, blah, blah, blah. A masseuse is going to come in during that time, but it's just all about you for 3 hours. Nobody's going to bother you. Like, that would be a different story, right? Mm-hmm. But hey, will you have sex with me is like a different sort of energetic request. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're like paying a debt, like that,
like a duty.
You don't know why you still have, right? You're like, oh, I've done all of this. And oh, there's another thing I need to do. So I think the bedroom is an incredible place where we can rework our dynamics in marriage, the place where we can actually find an equitable partnership easier than other places. Now, disclaimer, there are going to be some people who their experiences with sex or traumas that they've had related to their body or related to safety are going to make sex like, no, that's my hardest thing. I can't start there. But there are a lot of us that have a pretty good sex life with our partner. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Decent.
Maybe there's some tension because one person initiates more than the other, but let's ask why that other person isn't
initiating. I'm just nodding because everything
right?
you're saying is
exactly.
So,
well, because this is the dynamic so right that's on. Like unspoken, but here's the thing. The thing that is spoken is we have generations and generations and generations of misinformation saying that men are more sexual than women. So we come into a marriage thinking, oh yeah, this is something I'm going to have to beg for a bit because she's not going to want it, but she likes it when we do it. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. No, how about we look at the fact that like many women are multi-orgasmic, right? It's far more common than men being multi-orgasmic, right? Like that takes some training if they want to do that. And let's look at the fact that, oh yeah, like we could have like multiple orgasms, like multiple times a day if we wanted to. And women who are not married and who are married to, or who are married to other women have higher degrees of sexual satisfaction than women who are married. Like, let's just start talking about women love sex, but it has to be good. And it has to be like at the right time. And it has to be like, when you've done 100 things that day and you've like, oh my God, you finished all that stuff for the school volunteer thing and you did this and you did this, you want to kick back. You want to kick back. And for a lot of people, that doesn't mean, oh yeah, I want to celebrate with an orgasm. No, I want to celebrate with watching Younger on TV. You know what I mean? Like, I want to watch reruns of a good show that's cute. Mm-hmm. So it's like having these conversations, because a lot of times the things that we leave unsaid and we just kind of go along with the status quo, what we're doing is we are like moving ourselves backwards in our integrity and moving ourselves backwards in our healing so often by just like going on autopilot, you know? So if we have a situation where your beloved husband would love for you to have more orgasms, then I say, all right, let's make that happen. Let's make that happen. Let's talk about, okay, what kind of partnership would I need in the house for me to feel fine cutting out for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon just to, I hike for 2 hours several times a week. I do this loop around a lake by my house. It's 6 miles.
It's so remarkable. Like that.
I do it though, Danielle. The reason I do it is because I can't go for a 20-minute walk or jog. I can't even go for a 60-minute. If I go, I will be like 2 minutes in, few steps in, and then I will get this pull. It's like a magnet, like a homing device. Come back to your laptop. I will convince myself that I need to turn around and come back and do more work. Listen, I have worked myself to the bone. And I mean, listen, I want to say I've had a privileged existence. I was a figure skating coach. Okay. I was a figure skating coach. And also that comes with skating parents. That comes with constant rule changes. Yeah, that comes with the physical exertion on your body. Like there'd be times when I would be on the ice for 100
hours.
It's
not a walk in the park.
Over 2 weeks, right? Like there's a lot, but I have done things the hard way. I have purposefully searched out the hard way in my life more times than I care to admit. So I want to look at how can we make this easier? How can we make this easier? One of the ways I do that is I put myself in a situation where there's like, there's few chances for decision or stress. So I put on a heavy pack. It's like a 30-pound backpack because I want to walk slowly and I can't walk slowly. I literally slow myself down. So I saunter the 6 miles around that lake. It takes me like more than 2 hours. And I just walk. And by the time I'm getting near the halfway point, I'm like, I don't want to be here. Like, I want to just be in my office. There's something I need to do, but I just keep walking. Because I get to the point where I'm like, it's going to be about the same amount of time if I turn around now. Well, maybe it'll be like, I should just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Something
might as well
happens.
Go forward.
Something happens around mile four. Something happens after I've been out on that trail for 75 minutes. My mind clears. And all of a sudden I pull out my phone and I'm sending voice memos to my assistant. Decisions that I haven't been able to make. Creative projects that I haven't been able to crack the code around. Like, wait a minute, I know I want to do these things, but how do they work together? Like, how does this make sense? How? You know, because you have these random ideas. And what part of how I live in integrity and how I fill myself up from the inside is when inspiration comes, I go, I see you. Thank you. Come here closer to me. I'm going to try to make you into something quickly. Like I say yes to my ideas, but then sometimes it takes a little figuring to figure out how they all weave together. So I've created more space in my schedule so I can go, wait a minute, I'm not going to rush this out. I'm going to push it back even a couple more weeks because I think that that's how it will flow. That's the thing. I've pushed. And now I'm trying to go for flow. And in the bedroom, we have an opportunity. Like, can you imagine if your husband requested that you go to like a spiritual healing retreat as often as he requests sex or would like sex? You'd be like, this healing's getting a little annoying, dude, right? Okay, but what if we took that request for sex and be like, all right, yeah, we're going to have sex, but it's going to be amazing. And I want to have at least 3 orgasms, even in a quickie. Okay. And, you know, no more like you just get yours. No, no, no. Because that's not really what they want. That's why they keep asking for more fucking sex, because they're not getting good sex. You're not having good sex, and they can tell. They can tell you're not having good sex. Okay. Even if you're having an orgasm or whatever. I mean, it's like having an orgasm is okay, but like having a mind-blowing orgasm is like, oh my God. Like, I swear, I think that's one of the reasons that I talk about sex is that I think that there's so much spiritual awakening, enlightenment available right there. Like, it's like, you know.
It's just like an area where so many of us are closed up. And like, even if we do have sex in a healthy way, we're still not experiencing that spiritual connection. That
we're not, and our minds are wandering. Like, mm-hmm. Honestly, that is one of the best things since being intentional about our sex life. And that didn't actually happen until I started making videos about it. My mind does not wander during sex. My mind goes to, how could this sex feel even better? That's where it wanders. Like, more, harder, grab this, grab that, let's switch. Like, that's where my mind is. And being that focused with my partner, even if it's for 20 minutes, once or twice a week, is incredible, the synergy that we feel. And then, this is one of my best tips for keeping it, well, it's a two-part thing. First of all, if you're going to have quickies during the week, if you're going to have any intimacy, decide first like what you want to get out of it. And you can tell your partner that, or you can just know. And then when you go into the bedroom, be like, yeah, I want, say, if you want to climax, then do what you need to do. Do you need to have a shower first? Do you need to listen to a sexy audiobook? What do you want to do? And then you start going down on me. Then you get yours. And then like there's genuine enthusiasm in it, right? Make it as fun for you as possible. And if that requires some conversations with your partner because they're really uptight, or you guys have never tried toys or whatever, I mean, just open the conversation. If you say, I would love to spice it up in the bedroom, I heard this podcast, I read this book, I found this chick on TikTok, whatever, I think that probably the door is going to be open for conversation.
So, question, right? that I've been wondering about is, do you find, I know that a lot of the couples that come to you, it's the guy who finds you first. Have you ever had some wives that are jealous or that have resistance at first because you're this beautiful blonde bombshell? And okay, so it turns out you're very deep, but well, initially.
Here's the thing that I think the first few videos that people send from my account to their partner kind of bounce off, like sort of like don't land, but it's sort of like, it's like a Nerf ball. It's just like, what was that? I don't know. Okay. There's nothing that is like alarming, but it's like, okay. Okay. And then they send a couple more and then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Wait, the way she said, I think there's, it doesn't take long for a smart person to go, I think she's talking about more than sex. Mm-hmm. I think she really is. Yeah. And then I think that the women see that and go, does he know what he's actually sending me? But he seems to sort of know because, yeah, I listened to like the couples who came on my retreat. I think almost all the men had read Swing like a year ago and their wives hadn't read it yet.
That's so interesting.
Right.
When was that retreat? When was your first retreat?
No, beginning of December. 2022.
Yes, so really that was recently. Really recently. And was that the first real event that you did for your community?
It was the first time I had been in person with couples since like before pandemic. It was the very first thing. I was terrified because I was like, okay, I know how to be in hotel ballrooms with like 60 adolescent girls. And I know how to like organize a weekend, but I'm like, we're going to be there with couples. And for the first,
and they're looking to like, you for advice.
Yeah, yeah. And for like the first 12 hours, I was like, when is retreat leader Ashley going to show up? Because like, I booked this, I paid for it, I flew to a new country. Here I am.
Where is she?
Where is she? Where is she? And then we were getting ready for dinner. And I said to Manny, I don't think she's coming. I think I just need to be me. And he was like, it's all okay. Cause me. Like, this has not been fun. You are so tightly wound. I was like, I know, I'm so nervous. So I just went to dinner that night and I was like, hey guys, I'm just going to, I didn't announce this, but I just decided to just listen to people because I just love hearing people's stories.
And that probably and made just, them feel so comfortable and so seen. And
it wasn't, and it wasn't that big. We only had 10 couples. It was perfect. So I got to spend time with everybody. And then right after that, five of them immediately rebooked for our next retreat in Tulum, which has since been postponed actually for like other projects that are coming out sooner.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it was really incredible to be in person with all of these people, these like just genuinely just open, eager. Here is the thing that most men are longing for when they send my videos to their partner. I think more than wanting their partner to change their behavior, I think that sending my videos is their way to say, I'm listening.
I want you to.
I'm listening. I'm ready to be influenced. A lot of the men who follow me are a little at a crossroads, like in their careers, or like a lot of men like mid 40s. And I think for a lot of women, this happens for us a little earlier. Maybe mm-hmm. we go through like our first midlife crisis, mm-hmm. when, you know, and sometimes we write memoirs about it. But anyway. Like if you can, yep. if you can monetize your midlife, or no.
Why not?
right. It's like, but why not make it a story that's going to help someone else? Mm-hmm. I think men go through it a little later. And so for a lot of men in my audience, they're like, they're questioning the religion they grew up with. A lot of Mormon husbands in my audience who message me and they're like, here's the thing that a lot of them are going through. They maybe have had a few incredible sexual experiences with their wife that have then led to incredible shame from their wife for like how they reached orgasm, or if they watched a little porn before it happened, or like all of these things that are so no, but that was the thing that helped them actually like break through to a new level of ecstasy, of joy, of feeling like I get messages from men who's like, if their wife used their own hand a little bit when they climaxed, they think that then that was dirty and wrong. So men are looking for like, wait a minute, I don't know if what I learned was right. Is there anybody out there who like is sharing an experience that mirrors what we are having, that like maybe a woman being sexual is incredible. Maybe that's not dangerous to her. Maybe that's not dangerous to our family.
To our marriage, even to our union with God, even.
Maybe. Yeah. Right. They're like, wait a minute. Like things aren't like the math isn't mathing anymore. And they're like, wait, like I thought that I would feel satisfied in my life if I just did these things, but we all have greater longings than that. Right. So a lot of the men in my audience are a little depressed because they're a little uncertain of what they need to do to have a satisfying relationship, to be satisfied with themselves.
And they don't want to go elsewhere. They don't want to be unfaithful. They want to stay right where they are, but they love their wife, but
they love their wife, but they feel like she does not know that.
Yeah.
That she does not know that because probably he's not communicating that very well, or he's dropped the ball a lot of times before. So now when he goes, look, I'm holding a ball. She's like, I built a new court. That's not even we're playing badminton now. Like it gets a little frustrating, right? When you feel like you just have to go off on your own to do something that you would like to do together.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of conversations that have to be had. And I think that that's what I hear the most from people who read Swing, is that they picked it up thinking they were going to be exposing themselves to this certain taboo sexually, right? But the real taboo is the intensity and honesty of the conversations that I had with myself and the people around me. And people say, like, I can't believe you said that to your spouse, or I can't believe you said that to your mother-in-law. And that's where the real courage is. And I think that's where like, that's the next frontier of like self-care, healing, blah, 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 is can we just admit our own feelings to ourselves? And can we, in some situations, actually be honest with the people around us?
Yeah, that's
if we can do those things.
That's what it's all about. Yes. I think we're amazingly out of time already. I had so many other things I wanted to talk to you about, but that was so interesting to hear your take on all of that, Ashley. And yeah, so deep, such wisdom in such a surprising subject matter, I think.
It's a bait and switch. The book is a bait and switch, and I knew it was going to be that, but I was like, I just have to call it a book about swinging because I think I'm going to have to like live more of my life before I can really look back and go, oh God, that's what that story is really about. You know?
Right. Oh, like I said, even what you just said, I could ask, I have several questions about it, but
we're going to have to do
it. We'll have to do it again. Yeah. Yes. Part two coming someday. Well, thank you for being here with me today. If you guys would like to read this book, it's wonderful. I listened to the audiobook. It's called Swing by Ashley Renard, A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H. And then the last name is R-E-N-A-R-D. I'll put the link in the show notes. And then there's my book, Piece of Work. And it is also kind of has some surprising themes that are totally different and related.
Cover, like, oh my God, I love your cover so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I love so yours much. Too. Thanks. Well, it was so nice talking to you. And I look forward to seeing all the other great things you're doing. And maybe my husband and I will be joining you and Manny on a retreat soon.
That would be amazing.
I think you would enjoy that.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Ashley. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.